From the 915 to H-Town, from the Panhandle Plains to the Valley, and everywhere in between, this is the 50-50 Podcast, powered by National Scouting Report. Join me, Hector Cano, as we cover the Texas high school club and college soccer landscape, along with an inside look at the college soccer recruiting scene. The 50-50 Podcast is a platform about the people and for the people who are dedicated to the beautiful game. Here we go. It's another edition of Inside Texas High School Soccer, Episode 7. I am your host, Coach Hector Cano, and I am joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Hollywood himself, Coach Rafa. What's going on, buddy?
Not much here, live from Del Rio.
You get shy on me all of a sudden? What's going on there?
Nah, just back and forth, taking care of some things here for my mom. And
yeah.
Just in the nick of time here.
Right. Yeah, so thank you for joining us. I know we ended up kicking it off, almost 15 minutes later than expected. A lot of updates, software updates, and technical issues that we had to clear up on our end. And Rafa, of course, as typical, as the former most interesting man alive, he can never be in one place, he's never in San Antonio. So last time he was in Buda, today he's in Del Rio. I'm sure on Wednesday when we speak again, he'll probably be in another part of the state of Texas. So great stuff. Thank you for being here. Great show. Loaded show today. As we got, I'm excited, man. We got our returning champion, right? Coach Strong from Bernie. He'll be joining us shortly. He's been here. I think he's definitely got frequent flyer miles with us, probably making his, probably fourth or fifth appearance with us. So excited to have him. He always brings great energy. Talk about his Bernie Greyhounds. Then we're going to look at our Game Ball Awards, our Team Sticker Awards, the playoff edition, second version of our playoff edition. Then we'll have Coach Caitlin, don't yell at me here. I don't know if it's Eidson or Eidson, but we'll get clarification on that. I've heard a couple of different pronunciations of that one. But the head women's soccer coach of the Katie Seven Lakes Lady Spartans, she'll be joining us later today. They are en route to, or not en route, but they booked, punched their ticket to Georgetown as well. Congratulations to them, along with Bernie Greyhound, both Bernie Greyhound squads. And then we'll wrap up with our state tournament overview. But before we do that, Coach, regional tournament recap. I know you and I were on a call on Friday. We called three matches, but it was tough calling those matches, but then also trying to track everything across the state. What do you make of our regional tournament recap?
Yeah, it was a exciting, crazy weekend. You know, some surprises and some familiar faces coming back, the return of the Kukui, which is never, I'm sure the other teams are happy about that. I'm sure the other teams are happy about that. But it was, like I said, it was exciting. We got to see, for us on Friday, we got to see, you know, four exciting matches, got to call three of them. And then Saturday, I got to call one of them for the boys' final. That was a good matchup there. I stuck around, like I said, for the boys' matchup, but I did call for the girls' matchup as well for Region 4 6A.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we were on the call there for the Region 4 6A regional tournament there, covered three of the four matches. Got to see all four, but we covered three of the four on Friday. And while we were on the call, we know we had our team member, Steve Sanchez. He was scanning the state and just kind of combing everything and trying to get us updates across the state. And some of the results that we were getting coming in were pretty amazing. Pretty somehow, like, I'm never surprised that we're going to get some surprises, but just the volume of surprises I think we were getting were pretty interesting. So yeah, I mean, it was great. I mean, I just, chaos as expected, regional tournaments everywhere, lots of conversations to be had in terms of, hey, why are we having them, where we're having them, or more importantly, I think also, why are we having them at the time of day when we're having them, right? So I know we discussed the, what was it, the El Paso Riverside and San Elizario 4A Boys regional final, which was hosted by Northwest ISD. Meanwhile, these are two schools that are 6 miles apart in the greater El Paso area, but yet they were, about 800? They had to travel 800 miles away to play each other. It's kind of like club soccer, right? Kind of like club soccer there. But yeah, that was one. I know, who was the other one? I think it was Rockwall and Wiley East, another, right, that are like 3 miles or 12 miles apart, I think, something like that. So some interesting conversations to be had there for sure in terms of just the makeup of the regional tournament. Because I think the new standard that we kind of all accidentally stumbled into was, I think, in what was it, 2021, when there was no regional tournament, right? And it allowed for incredible matchups because of the turnaround time, the recovery time, the true neutral site locations, and at the time of day in which those matches played out. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I know there were some people that were discussing that as far as, you know, maybe they should consider changing regional semifinals into neutral site, you know, neutral site games, and then playing the final at one location. But, you know, it worked, you know, during the COVID, but sometimes, you know, you do end up two teams, you know, are polar opposites of the sides, I guess, within the region. So it's a give and take on that. I think what UIO maybe needs to look at even more, you know, Kimberly, this is like region one, 4A. So you got El Paso all the way to Dallas, you know, it's really just the Northwest, the most central site for that, right? Or Wichita Falls, you know, that the natural site would be probably maybe Abilene, you know, that's, I think that would be the place to do it at. And same thing with the Houston and that, you know, region three with 6A, you know,
yeah.
They'll have to go, you know, go to Round Rock, you know, maybe Waco's the best place, so on and so forth. But that's something maybe it does need to be discussed, you know, by Tasco and UIL. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can figure something out that's a better kind of maybe a better location for these teams.
Right.
Or they want to do the flip neutral site. They can do that too as well.
Yeah. I think the thing is too, is getting everybody to understand how the UIL operates, the larger, right, mechanism, the larger machine. Soccer is just one component of it. Regional tournaments aren't going anywhere, right, in terms of the sports, right, whether it be basketball, volleyball, etc. But how they are done, I think that's the question, and these are some of the things that need to be brought up with, again, coaches, to your respective athletic coordinators, again, also to, and within your district meetings, right, these conversations with some sort of initial action going forward, right? From district, from district coaches to athletic coordinators, district committees, and then forward. That's how your voice needs to be heard in terms of surveys and what have you. That's why these meetings exist. Same thing with THSEA. This is why those meetings, these organizations exist. So more to come on that. I know it'll be definitely a heated debate for sure, no doubt. Ken, we got Ken Murphy in here talking about regional matches. I know he was out some great ones, right, with Prosper, both Prosper girls and boys, covered some great ones there, and versus South Lake Carroll, El Paso, Pebble Hills, to name a few. Ken, thank you for being here. And we're going to go ahead. We're going to switch here. We're going to kind of shift a little bit. We're going to go ahead and bring in our returning champion, as we call him. All right, Coach Michael Strong of the Bernie Greyhounds. Coach, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
I'm great, man. Thank you for being here. The last time we saw you, there was just two of you. Now you're the Strong family has extended, right? Proud Papa now. Congratulations on that. How's that going?
Thank you. Oh, it's a learning experience. I tell you what, I've got one dad who always jokes with me, don't get distracted. One of my seniors. But no, it's awesome. I love being a dad, love being a husband. It's all great.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So, you know, this is not newfound territory for you whatsoever. Your program, your boys, this is pretty much the standard, right? We can say there's a handful of programs, Frisco Wakeland, which I'm going to talk about more later. Is we often make the joke, same thing you can say with Bernie Greyhounds, both boys and girls, right? But particularly the boys program, right? Do you guys just book your ticket for Georgetown in January? How does that work? Because you guys are no strangers to making trips to Georgetown.
I think Wakeland really is an inspiration. I remember looking at them, their state appearances and state championships. I was like, how the heck are they doing that? I mean, it's incredible. And so for us to be able to follow in their footsteps and for them to show that it is possible, right? It doesn't have to be new teams every single year. It's, you know, that was kind of the the model that we wanted to follow, and we knew it was possible. And kind of to your point, it is the standard, you know, and it's not that we're looking past opponents. It's not that we're looking past the regional tournament or district, but we just, you know, we've gotten used to competing late into April or late into March and into April, and it's the expectation. And so when you go out there for a regional quarter against a really good Marble Falls team, you kind of have that edge, I think, of being able to say, like, guys, like, this isn't our last game. Like, this is a game for us to go get better, right? This is a game for us to improve, to get to where we want to get to.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Rafa, you got anything for Coach Strong?
Yeah, Coach, going into this season, I know the disappointment from last year. How were the boys, you know, mentally focused going into the playoffs, you know, as far as expectations, you know, any teams that were looking forward to playing to? I know I'm sure there was one game in particular that they had their circled around. So how was their mindset coming into this playoffs?
I think the really neat thing about this team is that there was a lot of these guys were on the outside looking in for our other state, you know, titles. And so there was a hunger to get back to state for them to be able to experience it. And it started day one, and it started in the off season when everyone wanted to do cross country and to work on fitness and everything. And so it's been a great group of guys. They all really like each other. They've been playing club soccer with each other for a long time. And that's what's really exciting about it, is they really enjoy being around each other. Obviously Hidalgo was, they wanted to beat Hidalgo, and that was a really big game, you know, on the schedule. But, you know, I think before that even was Marble Falls. Marble Falls last year played as tough. They're a great, great coach team. Coach Hoover has them really performing well, and they're probably the most underrated team, underappreciated team, undercover team in 4A soccer. And it's, you know, it's kind of unfortunate that they had to play us twice, you know, and two really good games. But I tell you what, that, you know, that was one game that we had circled, and I was a little nervous. You can ask the guys about that one, obviously Hidalgo, and then obviously Progreso, you know, getting to play the two big Valley schools who come out of 4A from the Valley, and getting to play them both and to compete against both of them, to beat them both. Again, I it was special for the boys. So yeah, those three were big for sure.
So, you know, this being your last year in 4A, Coach, is there any sort of kind of excitement, nostalgia, kind of like, hey, this is it, this is the final run here in 4A? Is any of that going, maybe not you, maybe not with your boys program, but maybe within, you know, the environment, the community where you guys can't escape that? Is that a thing whatsoever?
I think there's some pretty cool storylines with it, you know. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, I brought it up with the boys. I said, you know, hey, if you guys go in state, no one will ever, you know, you guys will be forever the 4A state champs, because no one can dethrone you, right? You guys will go on to 5A the next year. Obviously, that's 100% true, but, you know, that's what I tell them. You know, it's like, hey, go make history, you know, go win, go be the state champs, and then no one dethrones you, and it's a new title kind of thing. So hopefully it's a little motivation. I think it's pretty cool. It's pretty neat storylines. At the end of the day, though, it's I think it's the excitement of being there is enough for these guys. And the one, you know, I've got, you know, Shea Gonzalez, his two older brothers won state titles for the soccer team. And so he's always seen their rings and seen their medals. So I think it's so neat for these guys that are getting to experience what they saw to get that experience. I think that's motivation enough.
Right. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And we got a little comment in here for you, Coach. I don't know if you've heard of this guy, Coach Atilano. He's talking about this guy again. I guess he's got a complaint. You've been on here way too many times, I think. I don't know if you know that guy.
I'm sorry, Coach Atilano. I will I'll do better.
I'll do better. Hey, is that a shot at us? I don't know what's going on there. No, but he's got
Coach, man. You guys had a heck of a season. Yeah, you guys are gonna do great next year, man. I'm excited for y'all.
Absolutely. I'm excited to what they're going to bring back. They were fun. They were fun to watch. It was a great game versus Austin Vandegrift that we got to cover.
Tough way to go. I've been there.
Yeah, no doubt. So talk to us, regional final, right? Obviously there was some kind of interesting, there was a storyline leading up to your regional final versus, you know, versus Progreso there. Regional final, you all, defeat them 1-0 in a tough, which to be expected, in a tough, you know, tough regional final. what's the status of the squad coming out of that match? As you guys, what does that look like leading up to your match on Wednesday? How do you go about that whole process?
I think, first of all, I mean, credit to Progreso. They played an unbelievable game. We were running on fumes. You know, we the way we like to play, we press hard, we get after it, we compete. And that's really difficult to do 2 days in a row. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my starting goalkeeper took, you know, a knee to the head in against Hidalgo, and, you know, with like 10 minutes left in the first half, he had to get 10 staples. So he's out. My backup's in there. And, you know, there's a ball that he couldn't get to. So it's 2-1. And that's a lot of pressure to put on your backup goalkeeper.
Right.
Hidalgo's got the second half win. So we're expecting lots of shots. And my backup goalkeeper does a great job, makes great saves. But the game was never safe, you know. And so even at 3-1, they were, you know, pumping balls in. And so we really, you know, a lot of guys had to play a lot of minutes. And then going into Progreso, man, we were hurting. And, you know, we saw them, they had some red card issues from their regional semi. But, man, they played us tough. And they were beating us to first ball, second balls. And long story short, the biggest takeaway for me about our guys was just they got the job done with nothing in the tank. And I think that is incredible. It was really incredible to see, because I looked at my coach and said, we're in trouble. I mean, we are struggling.
Yeah.
But man, they found a way to get it done, right? I mean, they found a way to make, you know, to link up a few passes, to earn a corner kick, for Brett to get on the end of that corner kick from Shea. And it was just a gutsy performance. It wasn't pretty. There wasn't a lot of great passes, connections, beating people. It was just a defensive effort and just a little bit of special there at the end there for, you know, the last 8 minutes. But just a really gutsy performance by the boys. And that's what I take away from that is that, man, if you guys can do that, as tired as y'all were Wednesday, there's no limit to the effort that you guys are going to put in that game, especially knowing that if we do get through that one, you get a day rest until you play again. So that's going to be my message to them, just how proud I am of that gutsy effort.
Yeah. Well, you know, regional tournament ball, I think for some of the people that aren't as familiar with Texas high school soccer or new to it, or they're experiencing it for the first time, very rarely, as you know this, coach, regional tournament ball is not pretty, particularly the regional finals, right? Because of the format, because of the layout, as you just described, it's the true definition of survive in advance and find a way, right? So I mean, that's something that's going to continue to come up in terms of the format, right? The format itself. So we got our team member here, Steve Sanchez, likening you to Tom Izzo there, coach.
I tell you what, those Progreso fans and the Hidalgo fans and our Bernie fans, they're loud. So I'm sitting there screaming, you know, for subs on the opposite side of the field. And and then the referee's telling me like to get my subs off. I'm like, I am yelling, and y'all know me, my voice carries. And he's like, get him off the field, coach. I'm like, dude, I'm screaming as loud as I can. But yeah, no, right. Appreciate that, Steve.
Yeah. Talk to us about now. You know, you guys obviously go back to school tomorrow, playing on Wednesday. What are the next few days? What do they look like for you guys in terms of just, training, recovery, prep, logistics? What does that look like next couple of days?
At this point, practice doesn't matter. It's about getting healthy. And you know, we're here in Bernie. We're actually in that like totality. So we don't have school tomorrow. So we're going to come in, just do some recovery and I guess enjoy the total eclipse. We'll do a pasta night, you know, one of our family's houses, and then Tuesday will be set pieces and just kind of going over again the things that we do that make us successful. But again, just real light days. I mean, you played the regional quarterfinal last Tuesday. You played regional semi Friday, regional final Saturday. It's a lot of games. And practice is not very important at this time. Right. Health is, and getting your legs back. So. We're just focused on recovery right now. And then obviously we'll watch some film as a team. And because obviously Kilgore is a really good squad that is going to – I've been watching. They're good. So it should be fun. Yeah.
Well, give Rafa, make sure you pass on the address to Rafa and I, coach, for pasta night. We'll be sure to be there, man. And
we'll do. You guys are welcome.
Guys to good luck. Huh? So it's a perfect segue there. Kilgore, you got Kilgore coming up on Wednesday. What's your initial thought on them? I know they're making a, you know, special trip up here. They are a legit squad. Obviously everybody's good at this, especially at this point. But what are your initial thoughts on them?
It's crazy. You know, every coach does it where you look at the other regions during the year and you're seeing, okay, who's doing good in region two, who's doing well in region three, four, you know, region one. And Kilgore is always there every single year. Right. It's always, okay, are we going to see Kilgore? Are we going to see Kilgore? And big credit to them for finally winning region two, at least since we've, you know, the last few years that I've been here at Bernie. And we've always thought we were going to see them. And now we get to finally see them. They're fast. They're all over the field. They press hard. They press as a team. They're organized defensively. It's kind of like looking in a mirror a little bit for our Bernie squad. And it's going to be a high intensity game. I'm no surprise. I'm probably watching the Jacksonville film. So sorry, Kilgore coach. But that game, the intensity is awesome. I mean, it is, when you put it on, you're like, wow, this game matters. To both teams. And so, it's going to be fun. It's going to be, I think stylistically we're pretty similar. So I'm not sure how pretty the game will be. I think it's going to be whoever can kind of get those second chances, link up maybe one or two, three passes. You won't see 30 passes into a goal. I don't think for either squad in this game.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. In terms of the matchup, you're right. The matchup is going to be very interesting just because philosophically very similar. Right. So it's going to be a matter of will probably at a certain point, which it typically, again, mirror image in terms of state tournaments to regional tournaments. Right. As far as the semifinals are, you know, they're can sometimes be a little flashy, but that's where you see the best performance. And then the final, if you're lucky enough to advance, is all just guts. Right. So, blood, sweat, and tears, I guess, if you will. But before we let you go, Coach, just wanted to follow up one more time. Rafa, you got anything else for Coach?
Yeah, Coach, looking as far as – not to look ahead, as far as have you looked at the other two teams like Navasota and San Eli? You know Eli's been there, won some titles already. How do you feel matching up with them if you do advance past Kilgore?
I think both are great stories again, right? You got San Eli who, they barely lost to Hidalgo last year. And they're back again. So obviously there's a fire under them. They haven't been here in a while or since last year. And so they're going to be hungry for it. And then you got Navasota who first trip to the regional tournament and then they go win it. And then now they're going to state for the first time.
Right.
So I think it's incredible. Both teams, well-deserving of being here. And I think they are they're both at this stage in the game. Everyone's good. You know, I mean, we might as well flip coins, but that's not much fun. So we'll let the boys play it out.
Right. Right. Well said. No. Yeah. Well said. I mean, that's pretty much indicative of what you get in these state playoffs. But obviously, as you advance to every round, it's just the teams are just better and better and stronger. So no doubt. Coach, one last question for you. Obviously, you got a phenomenal community there, great support there in Bernie. And is the buzz any different this year? Again, kind of going back to that 4A question, but both you all, congratulations, obviously, to you all, as well as your girls program, both headed to Georgetown. Is the buzz any different? Or just because the communities are also very used to, for lack of better words, to seeing you guys, you know, book your ticket to state. What's the community like? Is there a buzz going on there? What you get a sense of that?
The community here is awesome. We are a soccer town. We've got great soccer clubs here, local clubs, Bernie Soccer Club and the Toros. It's been really weird because since the regional finals were on that Tuesday and then regional tournament Friday, Saturday, we haven't had time to celebrate any success. And then we've got the total eclipse tomorrow. And then we leave Tuesday. We're getting to send off on Tuesday. But I think this just goes for Bernie. It's just, we've had so much success as a school in all of our sports that it's the community. It's again, it's that standard, right? It's like, all right, well, talk to me when you get to state kind of thing. And yeah. For good and for bad. Right. And that needle will shift, and it, you know, obviously when we go to 5A, but I think it is pretty neat that the community can, that we can, you know, we can kind of flex that saying like, yeah, you know, talk to me when you get to state, you know, girls basketball, boys basketball, football, you know, tennis, you know, you name it, we're going to state in it. And so it's pretty incredible. But no, I know the Bernie, the Greyhound Nation is going to show up and support both the boys and the girls. Super thankful that we get to go with the girls again. Yeah. I think that's really, really special to get both teams out. And for Coach Shannon, 3 years in a row, yeah. It's an incredible feat. I think it's just as hard as, you know, I think it's hard to probably go three times in a row than it is to win one, you know? And so, you know, credit to him and his program that he's built. But yeah, no, the community's amazing here. Stuff from the top to the bottom, you know, obviously we got Dr. Kraft, our new superintendent. I've already seen that she's hammering Twitter, liking everything and retweeting, which is great. You know, she's been here for only a few months, but you know, she's already dove in all the way in. We got Coach Leach and, you know, obviously our athletic coordinator, Coach Hendricks, and our principal, Mr. Wilson. But, you know, they just are all so excited. They're always there. They're always visible. They're always talking, you know, whether mm-hmm. you know, in the school they're announcing like, hey, boys soccer's doing this, girl, you know, and not everywhere you get that kind of credit. You know, some places yeah. it's just, hey, this is how football is doing or this is how basketball is doing. But it is yeah. it's a great community here that we support everyone. We all coach two sports. You know, and that's not very common, you know, necessarily. So it really does tie us all together. And again, that I think that's what makes this community so special is we're becoming a very big community, but mm-hmm. it's that very, very small feel. And, you know, I got 50 texts, you know, Friday or Saturday, you know, saying congratulations from all the coaches. There's, you know, we all yeah. get along great. So no, I think it's, again, it's the standard. But I think, again, where when Wednesday hits, there's going to be a lot of purple in those stands.
Yeah. Well, they've definitely, you know, they got a great one, both in you and Coach, you know, Coach Shannon as well. You know, shout out to Coach Shannon and his Lady Greyhounds. 3 years in a row, and a fellow 50-50 podcast alum as well, right? So a little plug in there for him. So wishing both of you all the absolute best of luck. And yeah, I mean, your community should be very proud of what you all have done. And what you all, I think, are going to do this week. But also, you know, I'll ask you about 5A later, right? We have play right now. You got to focus on Kilgore and this week, right? But we'll have plenty of time to talk about 5A. But I appreciate you, Coach. And then on a personal note as well, you know, as I made about a year ago, less than a year ago, I started making my transition over from the private side back to the public side, UIL. And you were you know, very, very key piece in terms of, you know, talking to me, giving me some advice and some great pointers and stuff. So just wanted to personally thank you on that as well, because I really appreciate that. And it helped along the way as I made my transition over to MacArthur here. So I really appreciate you for that as well.
No, and I mean, it was easy for me to want to, you know, talk with you because you guys, you know, I appreciate you guys so much and bringing, you know, stories to light and bringing news to the state about high school soccer. And, you know, so thank you guys for doing what y'all do, and supporting high school soccer. Because yeah, it's the more we can talk about it, the bigger it's going to get. And, there's just such great soccer here in the state that, man, I would love even more coverage. So if you can, you know, do this full time, maybe, you know, you stop teaching the classroom, you just coach at Mac and, you know, do this full time, a daily thing. That'd be pretty cool. No,
yeah,
but no, we really appreciate you guys. And I told my wife I'd give her a shout out because she went to Corpus this weekend, and Bella was in the room with me, and Jen did a great job of making sure that I got enough sleep to be able to coach. So thank you to my amazing awesome. Wife.
That's awesome. Yeah, coaches everywhere, and especially if you're playing in state this week, make sure. Yes, definitely thank the spouses. Take care of the spouses, because you know, obviously, as you know, I'm a retired military member as well. But it takes, just like someone in the military, it takes a special someone to be married to a coach. So no doubt, cannot do it without the support of our loved ones. So yeah, perfect. Thanks, we'll end on that one, Coach. Thank you again. Wish you the best of luck, and we'll be in touch.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate y'all.
Good luck, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thoughts, man?
I think he's got him really focused on this. Like I said, he's got the rings to prove it. The last few, you know, being out of three out of the last 4 years, you know, getting to this point. So that experience is going to come a long way, especially with this tough matchup with Kilgore, who's, you know, this kind of their first time coming in. So the boys know that they can have someone to rely on as far as a game plan and so forth. But it's going to be a great, that's going to be a great game. And I think everyone's looking for possibly maybe that dream matchup with Sanelli, but I'm sure Navasota may have other things to say on that. So, yeah. Like I said, but usually we end up getting, you know, whoever makes the final, it's going to be a great game.
Yeah. Yeah. I want both teams to be as healthy as possible. Every final, right? What we want is we want them to be healthy. We don't want any cards, no reds, anything like that. We want everybody to be as healthy as possible for great finals. Cause at the end of the day, we all win with that. That's how Texas high school soccer wins, regardless of whether it's your team or not. We want to see quality semifinals and quality finals. So competing as student athletes, competing with honor, and then as well as coaches, you know, just ensuring that our programs compete with honor, compete with class, of course. So yeah, couldn't agree with you more. So we're going to shift a little bit, Coach. We're going to talk about our game balls and our team stickers after. But we're going to bring in Coach, the head women's soccer coach of the Katy Seven Lakes Spartans. Coach, you got to correct me on this. Idson, is that right?
It's Idson.
Idson, okay. So, see?
You can call me Coach E, just like the kids and all my students and players. Just call me Coach E.
Coach E. So Idson, as if there's no E there whatsoever. Is that how you say that?
Correct.
Yeah, awesome. Perfect. Well, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you. How are things?
Oh, man, it's been a whirlwind, huh? You know, everyone keeps asking me how do I feel, and I got to take some time to really come up with an eloquent answer for that. But it's been a crazy ride so far.
Right, right. So obviously, just like Bernie, you know, we had Coach Strong on here for their boys just a couple of minutes ago. Just like Bernie, you all, same thing. Katy Seven Lakes, both squads are in the state tournament, making some Region 3 history there. Have you even had a chance to process any of that? Because I know we've been talking, and I know it's just been kind of a whirlwind for you. How much have you even had a chance to process? You get almost no time to celebrate the regional final win because you got to start working on logistics for the state tournament. Have you even processed anything whatsoever?
Well, you know, it definitely is special. The ability to be able to have a moment like this with the girls, but also be able to share it with the boys. I can tell you our administration is very excited. Like we say, Spartan Nation is going to take over Georgetown. So just right now, really trying to be appreciative and appreciate the moment and enjoy the moment. And then, you know, it's back to work soon, you know, getting some of these logistics plans, itineraries and packets done and everything. And then, you know, we got my awesome assistant coaches, Coach Neniger and Coach Poss. They're already looking at some film, and we'll kind of game plan tomorrow.
Gotcha. So in the last 24 hours, right, from the regional final to now, any of all the new things that have kind of been thrown your way or the conversations you've had with the team, administrators, what have you, as you get ready for Georgetown, what's been the biggest surprise so far?
The biggest surprise is that you win, and then you have all these things to do that aren't really necessarily like X's and O's, I guess, or, you know, it's really about planning, you know, what time we're going to leave. Not that that's a surprise. I just mean that you anticipate other playoff games. It's like, okay, we win and we move on to the next one. Who can I contact about getting film? Who can I, where on these streaming services, what film is up there? How can we watch it in time? How can we break it down in time to then get it ready for the next practice? So, I mean, that's what I'll be doing tomorrow too. So there's just, it's, again, it's a special moment. Seven Lakes is a special place. And I'm just really thankful that we all get to enjoy it this weekend. And Coach Kruger, you know, he is not only a coworker, but I respect him and he's my friend. So being able to do it with him and, you know, just kind of get there with him. We watched them the last 2 years and we get to do it together. Like, I couldn't ask for any other way for that to go.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Coach Kruger, he's an all right guy.
He's all right.
Yeah. Don't tell him I said that. Right. Like, well, keep him on his toes.
I won't. But yeah, like we were able to grit it out yesterday and in a semifinal, and then the boys were playing. It's like, well, we went, like, we both got to go. We both got to make it. So we did our part. That's why I told him.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great stuff. And you get the Seven Lakes Spartan Nation in here rooting you on as well, Coach. So I know planning for their Georgetown takeover. So great stuff. Going to pass it over to Rafa. Rafa, you got anything for Coachy?
Yeah, Coach, going into this weekend, your matchup with Prosper, how do you guys feel about them? I know Prosper's been knocking on the door the last few years to get into state. They've fallen short. But they beat two quality teams in South Lake Curl and the state champs, Farmar Marcus. How do you guys feel about going into this game?
Well, you have to respect everyone you play. And, you know, you definitely have to respect the northern regions, I guess, Region 1 and Region 2. So we're going to game plan and we're going to respect them. We're going to make sure we go out and we put in our style of play and, you know, just take our shots when we have them. Again, you got to appreciate and respect all of the teams that they've knocked off. But, you know, coming from a district like Katy as well, we're going to go up there and we'll be ready.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so me personally, Coach, I'm going to share this with you because I want to be transparent. So I know I had you all pegged as going to state last year, right? And I know you had an incredibly talented squad, you know, not saying that you have that this year, but obviously it almost seems like it was a certain shift in expectations, maybe outside of your program, not necessarily you and your girls, this year. And yet this is the team that breaks through this year, and to make that trip to state, to Georgetown. How do you, when you kind of think about that, because it is kind of weird how sometimes those things happen, right? You have one squad that you think is like, okay, this might be the group. It doesn't happen. And then another group is the one that makes it happen. Mm-hmm. You process that. What kind of conclusion do you come to?
That's a great question. Thank you for asking that. And I want to give all the respect to, you know, not only different teams, but Seven Lakes soccer, you know, just Seven Lakes, the community. You know, we're relatively young. Next year, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary as a campus, and we're really proud of that. And that's just a moment to reflect upon all the success that these programs have had. You know, just look at the boys going 3 times in a row. This will be our third trip. So what I mean by that is it's just kind of a standard that's set in this community, and our administration, our leadership, they empower us to be great, and they hold us accountable to giving our kids our best. So, you know, every year you start a season and you might think like, okay, this team could do it. And again, you coach them. That's why we coach at this level. That's why we coach high school soccer, where, you know, we coach the kids that come through our door. We're not recruiting. We're not going out, and we coach these kids that love to play for each other and love each other. We also kind of found that over the last couple of years, that senior class that graduated last year, I guess the class of 2023, we had a very solid group, but, you know, in the area, there was also a solid group. You know, Stratford had a solid group of seniors, and so did Ridge Point. So what I mean by that is, you know, it's kind of like the ebbs and flows of high school soccer. You know, there are some age groups that are going to be stronger than others. You know, so the class of 23, that was a really strong group in our area. And so, again, it's high school. You just have to always be ready to give everybody, and you coach them, and the community part of it is what makes it special. So what I mean by all of that is we set a standard here at Seven Lakes, and we're just going to push our kids. And ultimately, it comes down to the kids performing. Ultimately, mm-hmm. It comes down to their parents supporting them. And, you know, the coaching staff, we're always going to give them our best.
Yeah, yeah. And getting a shout out here from Ken Murphy. Ken Murphy Photography does phenomenal work. Giving you and your squad some congratulatory shout out there. So, Coach, we've had one of the things that I kind of have an idea, but I'll still ask it is, you know, you talk about Katy Seven Lakes, you talk about Bernie, who we had on, Frisco Wakeland. These are the schools this year that are taking both of their programs to Georgetown. What do you think it is that is just synonymous with these programs, with these schools, with these communities? What do you think it is in terms of just that secret ingredient that allows them to be consistent like you all have been?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I think it comes down to that community support. You know, like Spartan Nation is on here and he's given us a shout out. And again, not just the individual of the Spartan Nation, but the entire Spartan Nation is out there listening. So it comes down to support of parents and support of players and support of administration and really coaches that really are committed to the game and are passionate about the game and be able to pass on that passion. Again, it comes down to the kids, though. The kids, like this group of kids, I'm so proud of them. They put in the work, and you know, they just never stop believing in each other, and they never stop improving. And so, for them to be able to do it, it's just a really cool. I'm just so happy for them. Like, as an athlete, as a student athlete, you set a lot of goals. Every season you come in, you'll set team goals. You'll set some goals for yourself as an individual, but they don't always happen. They don't always, like, you can't control the outcome. So you really just try and focus on the process. And hope that the process gets you to that outcome. So, like, I'm just so happy for these kids that they set this goal and put in all of the hard work, all of the blood, sweat, and tears. And then now they have this reward. You know, that's not to take away from other teams that put in the same amount of work. But just for that hard work to pay off, that's really why we love coaching. It's being able to empower these young student athletes and setting goals, working hard to achieve them. And that's, you know, what is going to prepare them for their professional and personal lives well beyond high school.
Yeah, perfectly said. So the question I have for you here is, as we start to get towards the end here, coaches, a couple more questions for you. But, you know, we asked Coach Strong a minute ago. They play on Wednesday as a 4A. You all don't play till later in the week. So take us through the preparation phase, the logistics. How do you tackle that this week? What does that start to look like?
Well, we will, with the boys going as well, we're going to kind of tag team on some of those logistics. So we'll have to get closer with Coach Kruger. But just on our side, preparation is going to be tomorrow. We'll do some recovery stuff. Tomorrow's Monday. With the eclipse too, it makes sense just to get some recovery things. And Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll do some film study and some applying those principles that we want to do in the game going into our game plan. And Thursday, we'll head up to Georgetown. I know that we're going to, like I said, our campus is very excited about having our state send off and getting to ride around and ride around the hallways, clap for our teammates and everything. And then we'll be able to get our way out to Georgetown on Thursday, hopefully trying to catch one of the 5A semifinal games, just so the kids can get a feel for the stadium and the environment. And then we'll have some pasta dinner and then get ready to play on Friday.
Great. Rafa, you got anything else for Coach Hitson?
Yeah, looking at the schedule, you guys play back-to-back. The first the girls and then the boys. How do you guys feel about that? You know, just playing right after each other.
Again, that's pretty special. It could have worked out where we have the 9 a.m. game and the boys have the late game. So that's right. That'd be a long day. I guess, you know, Spartan Nation would go check out the outlet malls. I can tell you that our principal is very excited about this, and she's going to do her best to incentivize people to go out on to watch us play back to back. So it's just really cool. And it was cool feeling yesterday. You know, we were able to win the regional final against a great Jordan team, and credit to them. I mean, for that battle that we had yesterday, right. I don't want to look past that at all. I don't want to look past any of our opponents. Again, it's nice to look forward, but I don't want to look past the accomplishments that we had. So what I mean by that is, you know, we were able to pull one out in overtime. That was great. And then right away we celebrated, and my kids wanted to get in the stands and support their friends on the boys soccer team too. And that's testament to their friendships. And we know that it'd be in reverse the other way. I guess it was our regional quarterfinal game. We were playing the day after the boys had won their quarterfinal, and, you know, some of the starters on the boys soccer team and their friends were leading our parents in cheers. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's cool. That's the great stuff. She is, again, the head women's soccer coach of Katy Seven Lakes Spartans. She is Coach Caitlin Idson. Get that right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, Idson? You did. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Coach, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that you talk about putting in the work. One of the things that I wanted to mention is not only are you the head women's soccer coach there, but you're also the assistant athletic coordinator. So that comes with a handful of just a lot of additional work outside of soccer, right, and your team. So congratulations on that, because I know that's just more stuff for you to juggle and try to balance. So we don't want to keep you much longer, but before we let you go, I just want to give you the opportunity to give any shout outs, thank yous, anything that's on your mind as it relates to your team, the game. The floor is yours.
Well, I really just want to give a shout out to every Seven Lakes girls soccer player to every leadership, you know, some of the players that aren't here with us this year, like I want them to know that they've not only set the standard, but they've upheld the standard. I also want to say thank you to my family for being able to support me. And they know where my passion is. My passion is in coaching. My passion is in soccer, and they're able to help me be happy. And like you said, a lot of work, it's not work if you're having fun. So there are some paperwork days that are longer than others, but when it comes down to being around Seven Lakes Athletics and Seven Lakes girls soccer and boys soccer, that's not work. That's something that's a lot of fun to do.
Yeah. Perfectly said. Man, great stuff. I love it. Great stuff, Coach. Thank you. Really appreciate your time, Coach. Thank you again. Wishing you and that other guy, what was his name again? Kruger? Coach Kruger, right?
Jimmy Kruger, yeah.
Yeah, wishing both of you guys the absolute best of luck. Thank you. And, you know, just the Spartan Nation. Looks like they're going to take over Georgetown, right? Them, Wakeland, Bernie, we'll see. See who can win the battle between both teams as far as a Georgetown takeover. So wishing you guys the absolute best of luck and health. And regardless, Coach, wishing you the best. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, man. Great stuff, huh? She's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, they had that disappointment last year because there were some high hopes for that team last year. And then this year, finally break through, especially with that tough Jordan team that they had to face in the final. And that, you know, that KDIZ district, you know, for 6A is probably one of the toughest districts in the state. Just to come out of that into the playoffs is something. But here to come to this point, you know, really, really says a lot of how, you know, that the preparation during the district gets you ready for the playoffs. And now opportunity maybe for not only them and the boys to win state titles. That'd be something, you know, for both schools to win the state title.
Yeah. Could you imagine that? Yeah. Imagine what if all three, that would be unheard of, right? Could you imagine that just in terms of 4A, 5A, 6A, if they all went to one school, that would be, wow. I don't know. We're going to have an eclipse this year, so who knows? seen stranger things, I guess. Couldn't escape that eclipse. It came up in both interviews. So that eclipse is everywhere, man. So, again, for our listeners, you're just joining us. Go on there, like, rate, subscribe. Go to our YouTube. Check us out there. Sign up. Hit the bell. Sign up for the notification so you can get notification of whenever we are live. Again, you can find us on Twitter and Twitch at 50_50pod, on Instagram as well at 50_50podcast. And then you can just find us on YouTube. Just simply search the 50_50podcast. All of our interviews, since 98% of everything we do is live. If you go to that live tab up top, you'll be able to find all of our podcast episodes. And then, of course, the audio podcast version. You can listen to all of those on all major podcast platforms. So it doesn't matter if it's Apple Podcasts, Podbean, when it's Spotify, we're on all of those. So go on there, really give us a rating if you can, because that really helps us a lot in terms of algorithms and be seen more. If you like us, you like what you hear, tell us you like what you hear. If you think we stink, complain to Rafa, not to me. Okay. I'm kidding. No, we're always doing everything we can to make sure that, that we do everything we can to give you the absolute best content. It's a lot, especially when you're trying to cover the state, but it's just telling the stories of our coaches, our players, our Texas high school soccer programs, the schools. They're pretty awesome. So, and a little shout out there to Aaron Kruger. Thank you, Aaron. Really appreciate you. Before we move on, just kind of wanted to tell you guys again, we're going to go ahead. We're going to take a look at Game Balls team stickers. But before we do, we're going to pass it over to our partners, both Gipper and Global Scarves. And we'll be right back after this message. Looking to step up your social media marketing game? Well, let us tell you about our great friends at Gipper. Gipper is a way that schools, athletic departments, ADs, and coaches create world-class marketing content. Join over 4,000 coaches, ADs, SIDs, and club directors who use Gipper to create high-quality visual branded graphics for your program. The best part? Anyone can do it in seconds on any device without needing any design experience whatsoever. If you do have significant design experience, you're going to love this as well, as you are what they call the power user, and this is designed with you in mind as well. And just for being a listener and supporter of the 50/50 podcast, you can receive savings immediately and save 10% off any first-time Gipper purchase. Simply visit gipper.com/partner/50/50 to learn more. Again, that's gipper.com gscarves.com/partner/5050. And then there are our great friends at Global Scarves, both Bill and Kyle. They are the top providers of custom knitted scarves, beanies, and other fan merchandise in the U.S. All merch is fully custom with free design services and free shipping on all orders. They do so much more, guys, than just scarves. Blankets, beanies, you name it. It's all designed and all customized to your specifications and needs. You can contact them at info@globalscarves.com to get any free designs or quotes built out for your school, club, or maybe even a supporters group. Simply mention the podcast or use the code #5050pod, and they will be sure to take care of it. All right, and we are back. Coach, it's about that time, right? We could take a look and thanks, Ken. Appreciate you. It's about that time. We are going to go ahead and look at game balls and team stickers. So if you're not familiar with this, this is where we try to identify players for any number of reasons as far as just quality, you know, quality competition, certain things that they did, just any accomplishments, something we want to point out based upon things we came across, things that we saw. And then, of course, our team stickers, same thing. We want to kind of give some kudos, some congratulatory kudos to some teams that stood out to us for any number of reasons, something that they of significance that they accomplished. So let's go ahead and start off with game balls, Coach. We'll start with you.
So I'll go with the girls' game ball. My game ball goes to Pflugerville Hendrickson, returning to the state tournament after a long little. After a while,
team sticker. Are you doing game balls?
Team sticker.
Oh, okay.
So we're going team back sticker for them. Yeah. Sorry. I'm doing the team sticker with Pflugerville Hendrickson. Like I said, they knocked off because of winning Region 3 5A champion Georgetown. So congratulations to them. So keep an eye on them. They're going to be a very dangerous team. They're going to be a handful going into the state tournament.
Yeah. Awesome. Great stuff. And your other team sticker you have?
So my other team sticker goes to the boys from Navasota High School. First time, you know, getting into the regional tournament, first time winning it, and first time going to state. They do have a tough test with Sanelli coming up. But like I said, I'm sure they're enjoying the experience getting to the state tournament, you know, first time ever. So congratulations to them, for getting the team sticker.
Yeah, great stuff. It's pretty phenomenal stuff, right, making that trip. So I'm going to go ahead and start with our team stickers as well. So on the girls' side, Leander Rouse defeating Leander 3-0 and district rival, right? Leander, who had been pretty much at the top of that district all year, beating them convincingly, right, 3-0. So seeing them as the second team in that district, a district that had all four of their teams advance to at least the regional quarterfinal, if not the regional tournament. So pretty phenomenal stuff there. So congratulations to Leander Rouse, the Leander Rouse girls program. And then on the boys side, what can you say, right? El Cucuy, right? Frisco Wakeland, they seem for some reason, I don't know why, it just didn't seem like as many people were as big on them this year. You look at their record and it's not the flashiest maybe as what you're used to seeing from them. And it's not a group that was maybe that everybody was on board as far as expecting them to be there, younger group, but yet here they are, right? We just talked about it last week, right? It's like, I'm not going against them. I'm not going against them until someone knocks them out of the tournament, right? Just not shocked whatsoever by Frisco Wakeland. So congratulations back again after being gone for a year. And, you know, this is what the probably second or third time they've come up today. Just something that's synonymous in terms of the culture of these programs. We talked about Bernie. We talked about Katie Seven Lakes and then Frisco Wakeland. These are all the three programs who have both schools that will be in Georgetown this week. So congratulations to the Wolverines and game balls, Coach. What do you got?
So game balls for the girls. My game ball goes to Maggie Manning, Manning from Prosper High School, the goalkeeper. Phenomenal performance this past weekend. Kept only allowed one goal out of the two games. That goal was coming against South Lake Carroll. But South Lake Carroll is actually averaging six goals a game, and she was able to, keep them, just allow one in the net. And then she had a shutout with against the defending 6A champs, Farmer Marcus, and now is leading Prosper into the first ever state tournament. So congratulations to her. Yeah. And then for the boys' side, I'm giving my game ball to one of Coach Strong's players, Brett Hattie. He had the game winner against Progreso, punch their ticket to Georgetown for this Wednesday's game against Kilgore. So congratulations to him. Like I said, we'll see if, like I said, they get that third championship in 4 years.
Yeah, great stuff. And so, yeah, game balls on my side. Going to switch back over. Going to do things a little differently. It's not typical that we do this, but on the girls' side, our game ball, what we wanted to do is I wanted to recognize a player that came up short in a losing effort, right? And Layla Rangel of Taft, who on Friday had the game tying free kick versus Round Rock to send extra time, and then of course eventually penalties with less than 3 minutes to go. And then on Saturday stepped up as the ultimate team player and played in goal. She is a midfielder and played in goal as the goalkeeper for San Antonio Taft versus Austin Westlake when their goalkeeper was unfortunately received a red card. And she held that Westlake squad score. Well, not just her, obviously, but in goal, they held that Westlake squad scoreless for, I think, what was that? 55 minutes, I think, with her in goal. With her in goal, about
the last 10 minutes. Yeah. About last 10 minutes. That's when, before the game ended, that's when they finally kind of cracked the code.
Yeah.
In order to sneak one in.
Yeah. So shout out to her, Layla Rangel of San Antonio Taft, for just doing so exceptional effort there, and being asked to do something outside of the ordinary as well. So the graduating senior and the UT Dallas commit. And then on the boys' side, not 100% sure if I got the gentleman's name correct, but this is what I was coming up with. This is what I was being told in terms of number of reports. Nate Zosiah of Duncanville, who probably has had the goal of the year in their win over their penalty shootout win over the Woodlands with about 50 seconds remaining, has a bicycle kick at the top of the 18 off of a corner kick that send the match to extra time and then ultimately to penalties. So if you have not seen that, go out there. You can check out Duncanville's socials. Everybody at this point posted it. I think it's on our Twitter as well. But pretty incredible when you factor in the situation, right? The timing of it, and then just the goal itself. It might very well be your goal of the year. It was definitely, what did they say, SportsCenter top 10 worthy?
I think it's SSB worthy. if ASPN's watching or anybody's there, hey, shout out to them. You know, I think that goal deserves an SSB. I mean, that was just a phenomenal goal. It reminded me of Manolo Negrete from Mexico from the 86 Mexico game when he did that kind of like bicycle kick for a goal as well. It's just a similar.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. So congratulations to all of our team sticker award recipients and our game ball award recipients. So congratulations to all of you there. And Coach, now we're going to go ahead. We're going to shift over in our last piece. We're going to go ahead. We're going to look at Georgetown, right? We're going to look at the schedule and there we go. Going to look at the schedule there and the upcoming schedule, what's on tap. We'll make some discussions, have some picks, and then we'll make our way all the way up to Saturday. And again, these are the latest times. These really should be locked in at this point. Again, these start times beyond after the first, everybody should know this by now, but after the first match, everything is fluid depending upon what time the previous match ends. You know, you're factoring in extra time if needed, as well as penalties, and then the next teams coming on typically will get somewhere in the vicinity of 20 to 30 minutes pregame warm-up time. So factor that in, and all these matches will be live streamed via the NFHS network. That is a UAL directive, right, in terms of just the contract that they have with NFHS. So again, NFHS Network is where you'll be able to find all of these matches in Georgetown Wednesday through Saturday. So, Coach, let's go ahead. Let's take a look at let's look at these first two. We'll look at our 4A girls semifinals 1 and 2. 11 girls semifinal number one slated for 11 a.m. Salina at 24-1-2 versus Lumberton at 22-4. And our second semifinal, 4A girls semifinal, is Salado 31-1 versus Bernie 22-1-3. Thoughts on these two, Coach?
I think these are pretty much your four best teams in all the regions, you know. And I think Salado finally kind of, like I said, they finally broke through. You know, Stephen Wells was the one that was getting kind of the – there in Region 1 was pretty much that team, and then Salado finally were able to get – they had to survive against that Lifeworks Ahatchee team. So congrats to them too. But Salado's here. But they got a tough matchup and with the Bernie girls. And you know how Bernie played well against Salina. I think they were the ones that really gave Salina a scare last year. So this is gonna be a great matchup. And then going back to the first game, Salina – they're going for that three-peat, but this could be a real difficult game. Lumberton, like I said, second straight appearance. Fell short last year, but experienced team. They've been, like I said, what did they learn from last year going to this game? And, you know, like I said, I don't think they're going to be intimidated, you know, going up against the two-time defending state champs. So this is going to be a bar burner of the game. And like I said, I'm looking forward to these first two matches for the girls.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. Obviously, Salina, the two-time defending reigning state champion, Lumberton making their return trip, as you mentioned. And then Salado, this is an interesting one in terms of Salado and Bernie, because this is what we thought the pairing was going to look like last year, right, where Salina and Bernie would be on opposite ends. And instead, they played versus each other in the semifinal, which ultimately ended up being the best match of all three matches at the 4A level last year. But Salado, who all we thought all roads led for Salado between them and Stephenville in a potential regional final, that was never to be, because life Waxahachie stepped in, right? Waxahachie life stepped in and just kind of created absolute chaos. Congratulations to them. And Salado had to overcome them in the final. And then Bernie, right? Bernie having to, once again, Bernie and Davenport, stop us if you've heard that before, right? Bernie and Davenport in another regional final. Bernie able to emerge victorious in penalties as well. So these are going to be great matchups. Thoughts, predictions on these two, Coach?
Well, start speaking with Adam Davis mentioned this. So this is Lumberton's third straight. So thank you for the correction. I think for the first game, you got to give the edge to Salina. I know that. You know, that's a little, you know, worries in district with that loss to Panther Creek, but they took care of business again. They played them the third time and took care of business. I think they're really peaking at the right time. So it'll be a great, I think Lumberton's going to challenge them, but I think Salina goes through. And Salado and Bernie, this is a little toss up here. I'm going to give the edge to Bernie because they've been here. Like I said, this is their third straight year. This is first Salado's first time, in a while. I know Salado has, they do play in a tough district with Stephenville, but, does it match what Bernie, knowing having Bernie, Davenport, Wimberley, and also Canyon Lake, so Bernie is battle tested and, but they're the ones that did challenge Salina last year. Like you mentioned, it was probably the best game out of the 4As. So it's going to be their hands full. So I'm going to give that slight edge to Bernie. And I think we're going to see a rematch this time in the final between Salina and Bernie.
Yeah, two teams that know each other very well. And then moving on, 4 p.m., the Bernie fans, they don't have to get up. They don't have to move. They don't have to do anything, right? They will move on. They'll look at the 4A boys semifinal number one, slated for 4 p.m. on Wednesday, April 10th, will be Bernie at 22-0 versus Kilgore, who Coach Strong gave us a nice little breakdown earlier when we had him on. Kilgore coming in at 25-2-2. And then our nightcap slated for approximately 6:30, which we all know what that means. Who knows what time this match will actually start. But 4A boys semifinal number two, Navasota, right? And making the newcomers net at 23-2-1 versus San Elizario out of the greater El Paso area at 22-3. Thoughts on these two, Coach?
Yeah, I think Coach Strom mentioned like the Cold War games, like kind of like a mirror image of them. It's going to be our barn burner of a game. You know, we'll see how this one turns out. Like I said, Kilgore's kind of had been knocking on the door for a while because Palestine's kind of been ruling the roost there, you know, in Region 2. But they're able to get through here. But like we mentioned, Bernie's got the experience. Like I said, this is the third year out of three out of the last 4 years. Like I mentioned, they're on a mission, you know, from what happened, this warming from last year. So I'm gonna give the edge on that game to Bernie. And then the second game is going to be an interesting matchup. We all know what San Eli can do. Like I said, they've been there, done that. They're basically the staple of Region 1. But, you know, you have a newcomer in Navasota. You know, is San Eli, you know, kind of have some nervousness, being a little nervous about, you know, playing a team that they're not familiar with, that hasn't been, you know, in this state tournament. So that's going to be, it's going to be interesting there as well. But like I mentioned, San Eli's experience being at the dance. So I'm going to give them the edge on that one. So I think we're going to see, I think a lot of people want to, for the finals, that Bernie versus San Eli on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. I think with one of the things you have to factor in with all of these, right, all four of these matches for 4A is the, they go first, right? So Wednesday. So all these teams just played yesterday, and the level, how healthy are they, right? That's the first question. And then just the recovery, just it's just far less, you know, Coach Strong said it best in terms of practice is not a massive priority at this point. Yeah, you want to get some touches. You want to get some regenerative sessions in, something. But recovery is so much of it. Film is so much of it. But because they start earlier, the logistics have a big impact, right? Travel, everything. They have a bigger impact for these schools that go first on Wednesday. So got to factor that in as well. But yeah, looking forward to both of these matches, all four of these. But then on the boys' side, which we're talking about right now, Bernie and Kilgore. Excited to see Kilgore there. Excited to see Navasota there, right? And how do they handle the spotlight, right? How do they handle the moment? That'll be the question, particularly with Navasota, who's played extremely well all year, very talented. And then, yeah, and you're right. How does San Eli handle them, right? This is not your prototypical team, right? And Bernie and San Eli, two teams that are very synonymous with being in Georgetown at the 4A level. And yeah, I think a lot of people would like to see that potential Bernie-San Eli final. Particularly since Bernie is leaving 4A, it would give us a great, great matchup, but we could end up the other way too. And I think we're in store for some great matchups here on both sides. So, all right, we'll go ahead. We'll move on to Thursday now. Thursday's action we have here. So matches start earlier this day because we now have five matches starting at 9:30 a.m. The 5A girls begin semifinal number one, slated for 9:30. Colleyville Heritage at 23-0-2 versus Pflugerville Hendrickson at 21-3-2. 12 p.m., we have 5A girls semifinal number two between Frisco Wakeland at 24-0-2 versus Leander Rouse, 24-3. At approximately 2:30 p.m., the 4A girls final will be played by, obviously, our teams to be determined. So that 4A girls final will take place between the 5A girls and the 5A boys semifinal. At approximately 5 p.m., the 5A boys semifinal number one will take place between Leander Glenn at 29-0-1 versus Frisco Wakeland, 18-5-3. And then our nightcap, the final match of the day, 5A boys semifinal number two, Midlothian versus Baytown Goose Creek Memorial. Midlothian coming in at 23-2-3, and Baytown Goose Creek Memorial coming in at 21-3-2. Thoughts on these, Coach? Let's look at our first two, our girls semifinals.
So, well, besides what one thing is on the schedule, one thing I wish that you, maybe the UIL should do that 4A girls final in between the two, those four semifinal games. I think that game should be the nightcap, should be the feature game. You know, put them in the spotlight, you know, let the other teams play up because this is a final. I think out of respect, that should be the final game. Maybe they'll, hopefully, the guys from Tasco can tell Loyola, hey, let's do that. They need to have that recognition. But yeah. let's go into the first semifinals here. What do you say about Colleyville Heritage? They've been a staple at this state tournament the last few years. I think they're one of the favorites to get into the final, but they got a very tough Fulgurio Hendrickson team that, like I mentioned, they knocked off Georgetown, who made the tournament last year. So that's going to be a great game. And then Frisco Wakeland versus Leander Rouse, interesting matchup. Like I said, Dallas versus Austin. I'm going to give slight edge to Wakeland. Like I said, even though Rouse does play one of the toughest districts in the state with 25-5A, but Wakeland's in, you know, they're in a tough one themselves too. So, but I'm going to give the edge on Wakeland. So I have a feeling we could see maybe a Dallas all Metroplex final on Saturday.
These two girls semifinals are going to be interesting. A great point here by Ken Murphy talking about in slated for Wednesday's forecast are showers and windy, right? Breezy is in the forecast there at Georgetown on Wednesday. So, which will be interesting, especially on turf. Colleyville Heritage, I think you can make the argument that maybe outside of these two, right, Frisco Wakeland and particularly Colleyville Heritage, the two most consistent programs all year, right, in 5A. On the girls' side, Pflugerville Hendrickson, who's put up incredible results, great record, but not a lot of people saw coming. Not a lot of people expected them to be here, so they've been proving the doubters wrong. And then Rouse, who just had to fight out of their own district and then escape their district again in a regional final versus Leander. So they're coming in with a lot of confidence. So these are going to be dynamite matchups. I agree with you in terms of the 4A girls final should probably be the nightcap here in terms of recovery. Not quite sure what the thought process is here, but that's neither here nor there. That's something that needs to definitely be pushed and discussed, as we mentioned earlier, by coaches to directors and so on up the chain. We'll look at 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock, our 5A boys semifinal number one and number two.
So you got some very interesting matchup here with the first one at 5 o'clock. Leander Glenn, which kind of came out of nowhere, they've really established themselves here, undefeated. But they're playing the boogeyman of 5A boys soccer, which is Frisco Wakeland. And I'm sure when they saw that matchup, they're like, this is going to be, maybe this probably could have been the final here, but I get to see it, I guess, around earlier. Leander Glenn has their hands full because this is their first time in the big dance. Frisco, like I said, they've been here with the seven last out of 8 years. They know what to expect. They know the routine, but I think it's going to be a back and forth game. But I'm going to give the edge to Wakeland because of what they've done. You know, these last pretty much almost like close to the decade. You know, it's just win at this state tournament. And then the nightcap, you got Midlothian versus Baytown Goose Creek. Midlothian, what do you say about them? Another storied program. They've been one of the staples there for Region 2. And then the surprise out of Region 3, Baytown Goose Creek Memorial, they had to weave through, beat some really quality teams in that Region 3. Like I said, you know, the favorite was actually going to, you know, everybody thought maybe Pflugerville Conley was going to be the favorite, but they got knocked out by Magnolia West. But like I said, Baytown was able to find a way to get to this point. And they, like I said, this will be a great matchup, but I'll give Midlothian the edge on that. So I think we're going to end up seeing another Metroplex final here between Wakeland and Midlothian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Midlothian's look strong all year. They've been consistent. And then same thing with, you know, you talk about Leander Glenn. You've been very big on them all year, right, Leander Glenn. So excited to see them. They come in with an undefeated record versus a Frisco Wakeland that you just cannot look at their record. You got to throw that out the window, right, because it's again, I've already talked about Frisco Wakeland. They are El Cucuy. So you got to handle them differently, right? And they appear to be healthy. They're playing very, very confidently, and definitely in form. And they're back, right? They're back. So that should be a phenomenal semifinal number one, 5 p.m. between Leander Glenn and Frisco Wakeland. That should be a phenomenal matchup. So yeah, looking forward to all of these. Again, this will be the first day in which we crown a champion at approximately 2:30 p.m. 4A girls final will take place with, of course, teams to be determined based upon Wednesday's April 10th results. All right. And then we move on to Friday, April 12th. We're going to go ahead and look at what is our schedule slated for the 6A joins the party. 6A girls semifinals 1 and 2 start off the day at 9:30 a.m. Rockwall coming in at 21-3-2 versus Austin Westlake at 16-4-2. An Austin Westlake that not a lot of people saw coming as well. So congratulations to them. 12 p.m. 6A girls semifinal number 2, Prosper 24-2-2, playing very well versus Katie Seven Lakes in 19-3-5. 2:30 p.m. we will crown our second state champion of the week, 4A boys final. Of course, the teams to be determined. And then the evening we move on to the boys. 6A boys semifinal number 1 slated for 5 p.m. between Katie Seven Lakes at 23-1-2, the defending state champion Spartans, versus Duncanville at 22-3. And then our nightcap for the evening at 7 p.m. boys semifinal number 2, Austin Vandegrift at 22-2-2 versus Flower Mound with I'm not 100% sure if that is accurate on their record as well. We'll follow up with that. But yeah, it would be pretty interesting if they are identical. But yeah, that should be a great matchup as well. Thoughts on these, Coach?
Yeah, for the girls semifinals, like I said, you got Rockwall, who finally, like I said, were able to get through to, you know, through Region 2. Like I said, Wiley East has been kind of been the staple the last couple of years, and they finally kind of able to take them down. And they're riding high, going into the state tournament. They got a really good – facing a very good – young Westlake team who, you know, really Westlake was not really expected. It wasn't even the favorite, you know, to, you know, for the region. There was a couple other favorites, you know, you had like maybe, you know, like, you know, Ron Rock. I think people thought Ron Rock was going to get through, but they got knocked out in the regional semifinals. And then Westlake was able to get a win over Taft here in the final. So this would be a competitive game, but I'm going to give the edge on this one to Rockwall. And then the second game, this is going to be a classic here, Prosper Seven Lakes. I think these two teams are going to go toe to toe. I wouldn't be surprised this one ends up going to penalty kicks. That one you're going to have to give, Prosper the edge. Their defense has been stepping it up. You know, the whole, like I mentioned, they held Salt Lake Curl to one goal, which they're averaging 6 goals per game. And like I mentioned there, they haven't.
Stat of the night here, Ken Murphy, right? Stat of the night as far as good luck breaking through that back line for Prosper goalkeeper. Having said that, Prosper hasn't scored in almost 200 minutes. Thanks, Ken.
But like I mentioned, defense does win championships even to the PK. So I'm gonna give Prosper, like I said, the edge. Like I said, this is a special year for them. I think all the disappointment they've had the last few years, because they've had some really good teams and we expected them to be here, but they always fell short. You know, they fell to like a Marcus or a Flower Mound or or South Lake Carroll. But now they finally break through. Now can they take advantage of it and finish the job and get to the final and win the title? But I'm gonna give the edge. To Prosper, but this could be. I wouldn't be surprised this one goes to PKs, and then the boys' game. I think Seven Lakes has their hands full on this one.
Hold on, Coach. Hold on. Before we get to that, real quick, let me follow that up. What you said. So yeah, Rockwall, Westlake on the girls' side, right? Semifinal number 1, Rockwall and Westlake. I think Westlake has just. I think they're kind of you could say they're playing with house money at this point. They have just, I don't know. You know, they go through. They have to maneuver around a very brutal district, tough district. And many people would have told you they would have thought maybe it could have been the likes of Anderson or maybe even Lake Travis. But it's Austin Westlake that breaks through to the state tournament, and then a very good, solid kind of program that's been kind of under the radar a little bit, and Rockwall, who I think is going to be ready for him. And then, yeah, Prosper, after what I saw with them this past weekend, very hard to go against them. But I know we just had Coach Itzen on here, right? She'll have Katie Seven Lakes ready. But yeah, I think all roads here kind of lead through probably Prosper, but we'll see what that looks like. And then our 4A boys final, we will again crown a second champion at 2:30, approximately 2:30 p.m. in between. And we're right back to what we were probably saying Thursday with the girls, right? Is this final should ideally be at the end of the night. I know they want to highlight 6A, but in terms of recovery and probably the best thing to do, the nightcap should probably be a final, right, over a semifinal. So, all right, but let's go ahead. Let's take a look now. We'll shift over to approximately 5 and 7 p.m. We'll look at our two boys semifinals, semifinal number one, Katie Seven Lakes and Duncanville, and semifinal number two, Austin Vandegrift and Flower Mound. Coach.
So Seven Lake boys, like I said, they're back. They want to defend the state title that they won last year. Like I said, this third straight year they made it to the state tournament. But they have their hands full with a very good, Duncanville team that's been kind of under the radar a little bit. But they're flying high, especially from that. You saw on the video, if you've seen the videos on that goal, I think that really kind of propelled them. And I think they have some momentum going this, and this is going to be a very difficult matchup for them. Can Seven Lakes kind of absorb that, Duncanville's attack and, just the excitement being there. I'm sure the Spartan Nation is going to have their crowd there to kind of lead them on. I'll give that the edge to Seven Lakes. I can see this game going to extra time. It's going to be back and forth, but Seven Lakes, because there are the state defending state champs, they have the experience. Like I said, third straight trip to Georgetown. I'm going to give them the edge on that. And then the nightcap, Vandegrift versus Flower Mound. Like I said, I did get to see Vandegrift play a couple times. They had to survive that game, that semifinal against Harlan. I had to go to PKs on that. And then the next day, like I said, they kind of had to turn around, played a really good, surprisingly, Annenberg North team. Able to break, win 3-0. But they do have a really tough matchup with the Flower Mound team, who's actually been here. This, like I said, it's been a couple years since they've been here, but they're back at it. They've won a state title a few years ago. It's going to be a very difficult matchup. I'm going to give the edge that one to Flower Mound, and I won't be surprised if we see a Flower Mound Seven Lakes final on Saturday. I think your mic is off.
Here we go. Seven Lakes gets a tricky draw here versus Duncanville, mm-hmm. right? And you can make the argument one of the hottest teams in the state right now, who's riding a wave just off of. I mean, when you win the way they did, that can kind of, just as you said, propel, ignite a fire under a team. And there are always key moments where you say, "Hey, that was the turning point," right? So Duncanville has that. That said, will Katie Seven Lakes be ready for them? The experience and whatnot, they'll be ready. This game, definitely, I could see some potential overtime here, extra time. But I can also see, I mean, this is one where if it goes to penalties as well, Seven Lakes is very familiar with that. They've got an exceptional goalkeeper as well, who's already proven his worth in the playoffs in a shootout. So, yeah. So this will be a great matchup here, but I think Coach Kruger will more than have the Spartans ready. And then do they ride that wave, right? Because in this group here, Seven Lakes is the only one, right, that's going to have both of their teams, meaning larger contingent, larger community. Does that become a factor there at Georgetown? And then, yeah, Vandegrift, who we saw closely, you got to see them twice this past weekend. Versus a Flower Mound team that has just kind of been going about their business, and here they are. But yeah, I would agree with you. I think all roads could potentially lead here to a Seven Lakes Flower Mound final, but we shall see. Great matchups, absolutely great matchups here as well. So, and then we'll look our final day, Saturday, right? which brings us to Saturday, which of course we don't know any of the teams yet, since they're all TBD, to be determined. But here is what the schedule is slated for: 11 a.m. So we'll have our 5A finals will go first at 11 and 1:30, respectively, all times approximated besides the first one. And then our evening matches we'll wrap up with our 6A finals, with the girls going first at approximately 4 p.m., followed by the boys at 6:30, which I don't know if this game ever gets started on time on the right, the final one. I don't know if it ever gets started on time on the last day, the final match. But yeah, that's where we will officially end the season, with the 6A boys final. When that wraps up, that will be it for the 2023-2024 season. And it has been great. We're excited to cover it. Thoughts as we start to get ready for championship week, Coach?
Yeah, this has been an interesting, playoffs, going back when we did our bracketology and so forth. We've seen a lot of surprises leading up to this point, and who's to say the surprises won't end on Wednesday?
Correct.
I wouldn't be surprised, that one team, that nobody thought had a chance and ends up winning the whole thing. I mean, if you look at kind of like I said, like Duncanville, flying on the radar, the way they got in, from that, that kick may end up leading to something, end up lifting the trophy, those little things like that. And then, yeah. Like you mentioned, you have to have some luck too. And, that was the biggest rabbit foot you could rub on there, for that. But then you also, like I said, you have some also great matchup. I think the key here, if you look at these games, and then I think maybe seeing what a lot of the upsets we've seen the last few weeks, is how do they match up with each other, the different styles of play. Right. Are they going to give them problems if they play this certain style? Or can they adapt and so forth? And then the bottom line is also going to come down to coaching. Your coaching pedigree is going to help you lead the way to this. And we have some coaches here who have been, like I said, been to this dance quite a few times and have some state titles as well. Oh, yeah. That comes into a big factor on preparing your team and leading your team and figuring out and leading them to victory.
Yeah. 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 Coaching at this point, coaching becomes magnified, as I like to say, right? The decisions that coaches may have to make, will have to make, or the decisions that they choose not to make could just as much have a big impact, right? So well said. In case you're watching us, you can see down the bottom ticker. And if you're not watching this, and you'll hear this later, our next episode of Inside Texas High School Soccer, episode 8, we will be coming to you. It's going to be a special Inside Texas High School Soccer After Dark edition, as we called it, right, Rafa? It will be on Wednesday, April 10th. Time is definitely TBD, because I will be doing some administrative coverage, right, at a area around track meet, right? So it will be a long day slash evening for me. So once I get back from that, we'll kind of have an idea as to what time. But this will be a late one, so we will put a wrap-up, a recap, if you will, on the first day of action for a – might be a kind of slightly abbreviated episode, depending upon how late we started, but it will be a late one. And when I say late, definitely well after 10 p.m., but we're still going to go ahead. We're going to make sure we give you that content, give you that coverage. And if you can't catch it live, you can always catch the replay, or if not, the audio podcast portion. But definitely making it a point to bring you all that coverage that hopefully you all want, that we want to give you all as well, because this is it for us. This is the peak of our season, kind of the festival of football, as I like to call it. And we will release later in the week the championship week schedule as far as when we will be bringing you coverage. But in theory, when we like to bring you coverage is approximately about 30 to 45 minutes, no more than 45 minutes after the last match of the day, where we will discuss, we'll look back at the day that was, and then we'll look ahead at the at the next day. But the plan is to bring you episodes on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then we will wrap up Saturday's episode. We will actually look to it. Our season finale will be on Sunday rather than on Saturday. And when we do that, when we do that, we will follow it up with hopefully some, what we like to have is our champions, the champions episodes. So we'd like to have coaches for those of you that emerge victorious as champions at the end of the state tournament. We would love to have you all on for a champions episode along with some of your athletes, any particular athletes that you'd like to bring on. And it's kind of our tribute to you all as champions. So those are kind of our, some of our funnest episodes that we have, most fun episodes we have, right, Coach? So thoughts on championship week as we look ahead, Coach?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, like I said, some great matchups. Besides, I know the Eclipse is getting all the buzz this week. Like I said, I'm in Del Rio, so I'm probably going to have one of the best views here. Before they're actually having an Eclipse Festival here in Del Rio. They've had it since, I think, since Friday. So
are they really?
So they have, yeah. So they have a, they're having a big party tonight. I think the Spasmatics were going to play tonight or something like that, from what I was told. But yeah. So you have a chance. Well, if you do go out, be safe too. Like I said, be safe out there if you do go see the Eclipse out there. But like I said, besides that, you know, I think this has been a great season, and we're looking forward to see who does emerge. Some great storylines. But plus, we also have some great quality coaches that are brought these teams this far, and hoping to see if they can take that next step and bring that, you know, bring that trophy back to their campus. Like I mentioned, like last year, you mentioned about the episodes we did, especially like with Coach Kruger. That was a fun episode with his player getting recognized one of the grocery stores or something. And, you know, it's just stories like that.
Right? When you talk about his story, about what he overcame and like, it was a phenomenal story. And Hunter Merritt. Yeah. Great story.
So something like I said, things that you can cherish for, you know, for a lifetime. But like I mentioned, looking forward for this week. And if you do have a chance to go out to Georgetown, you know, go out there, watch some great soccer. You know, like I said, this is the last week. You know, like I said, we won't be back at it again till the end of November, or, you know, the end of the last week of November, early December, when we start this process again.
Yeah, this is what I like to call the culmination, right? The culmination event, culmination week of what we do in terms of just our coverage and what we do, just our sport here at the high school level. So grateful to all of our, from, you know, the student athletes first and foremost, yesterday being National Student Athlete Day, but our student athletes everywhere, all athletes, not just our soccer athletes, but of course we love our soccer athletes. But our coaches, a lot of our coaches, they coach multiple sports, not just soccer, right? Mm-hmm. So our coaches everywhere, our athletic coordinators, our administrators, assistant athletic coordinators that support our soccer coaches so much. Coaching soccer in the state is very tricky just because of how long the season is, how it overlaps in the holidays. And, you know, it runs from really, you're talking about right after Thanksgiving through here we are now going into the second week of April. And so, it can be very tricky. It can take, you know, as Coach Strong was mentioning as well, in terms of a shout out to his spouse, his wife, it can be tough on families as well. So making sure our coaches who unfortunately aren't in Georgetown, making that trip to Georgetown, making sure you're getting plenty of that quality, you know, that quality time with the families. That goes for the student athletes as well, who sacrifice a lot, make a lot of commitments. But our administrators everywhere, our coaches, everybody that has a part, the communities, the parents, obviously, without a doubt, the parents who fuel so much of this. Thank you to our officials, right? I know a lot of people are salty with officials right now for a number of reasons. I get it. I do. But we can never play the game without them. They are an intricate piece, intricate fabric of our game. So we can definitely work. I know a lot of people have opinions on officials, no doubt. I'm one of them. But also doing what we can to make sure that we get more officials trained, certified, what have you. So if you're interested, you know, pick up a whistle and get trained as well. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough as well. So I get it. But yeah, thank you to everybody. Thank you to you, Rafa. Looking forward to another week. This will be our fourth edition of Championship Week. I can't believe this, our spinoff series, Inside Texas High School Soccer, which again started by accident and was just kind of requested by a lot of people, and it took off. So cannot do it without you all. We're so grateful for you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, as mentioned earlier, get on here, like, rate, subscribe on our YouTube, trying to make a bigger push to grow our YouTube channel more. Please go on there and subscribe and sign up for notifications. So you, anytime we go live, which is almost just about everything we do, you know, go on there, you'll get notified of any live episodes. And, you know, once this week wraps up and our champions episodes wrap up, we start to make that shift in terms of having on a lot of, college coaches again. So if you're a college coach that's interested, please don't hesitate to reach out. We'd love to have the opportunity to tell your story, showcase your program, and come on here and let student athletes and parents hear what your program is about. So that's going to do it, buddy. Thank you. Again, go on there, like, rate, subscribe, and follow us. Give us a rating on the audio podcast portion, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, whatever you're on. Go on there, give us a rating. We'd greatly appreciate it. It always helps us out. So Rafa, thank you, buddy. Looking forward to this
week. Thank you.
It's going to be a crazy Wednesday, but but we'll have something in the works. So appreciate you. So thank you again to everybody. And you know what to do until the next time. Oh, before I forget, thank you again to Coach Strong, as well as Coach Idson of both Bernie and Katie Seven Lakes, the Bernie Greyhound Boys Program and the Katie Seven Lakes Girls Program, for joining us. Really appreciate you guys, and wish your programs, your communities, the absolute best of luck. If you are going to Georgetown, safe travels, because you always have to negotiate that that parking lot that is I-35. So please be careful. Please be careful. So until the next time, you know what to do. Keep downloading and keep listening. You've been listening to the 50-50 Podcast, powered by National Scouting Report. Help us continue to grow by liking, rating, and subscribing on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at 50_50pod, on Instagram at 50_50podcast, as well as on YouTube at the 50_50podcast. Until the next time, keep downloading and keep listening.